We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John McComsky, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, coming to you from Ascension Lutheran Church, where I serve as pastor in beautiful South St. Louis.
And you are listening to Wrestling with the Basics on this Share-a-thon weekend. I have no idea why they would let our show air on Share-a-thon weekend.
We're supposed to be building support for KFU, the best of the best, right? So I'm with you, John.
Although I did notice that Andy, who is, of course, the program director there, gave me notes to say that we should mention there's other things on are on KFU, like Thy Strong Word and Concord Matters. I'm not sure why he wanted me to be sure and emphasize that.
This is not the only programming.
That's right.
It is Share-a-thon, though, season, John. Yeah, the flowers are blooming, the birds are singing.
Oh, yeah.
Easter's all around the corner, and that also means it's Share-a-thon time. And what an appropriate time of year to have it, in many ways, as we think about the resurrected Christ. And that's exactly who KFUO proclaims worldwide, is Christ crucified, certainly, but also Christ risen for us, too. And what a beautiful message to proclaim in places that you and I can't get to, John, on our own, but through KFUO online and over the radio waves, it can go truly worldwide.
Well, see, that's the great thing. That's a good reason to support KFUO, because literally this gospel about Jesus Christ and about the love and forgiveness that we have in God, it is, thanks to the internet, what we're doing here, what the radio station does, is no longer simply limited to farmers in Springfield, Illinois, who listen on their tractors, and the people who have their radios at home, but literally all over the world. And indeed, we get email from people in Japan, in Germany, even as far away as North Dakota. So we're reaching all the way out. And of course, I'm glad you mentioned the whole business about the gospel, because it's more than just 100 minutes of dumb jokes. We need to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
That may be what we are known for, but certainly there is more to that on the KFUO. So please do support the efforts here with a share-a-thon. What we want to talk about today, though, since it is getting really close to the end of the Lenten season, we want to talk about a character who is very key in the story of Jesus and his suffering and death, and that character is Caiaphas. Anything you want to say about Caiaphas before we kind of give a study of this man and how he is part of the Holy Week story?
Yeah, so Caiaphas is one of those people that Jesus will be appearing in front of during those hours leading up to his death. He's also a high priest, the current high priest there. And so what he has to say and how he says this is pretty key to this passion narrative.
Well, and so the thing is, why we like Caiaphas as Christians is we love things that affirm the fact that we're not talking about fairy tales. We're not talking about some story that was invented by man, that it's actual, it's historical. And by the way, that's another good reason to be supporting KFUO, because that is our understanding. But we don't believe the Bible is a myth. We believe it is the true word of God, and everything recorded there is an actual factual history of what happened. And Caiaphas is one of those characters that is verified by the secular historians. Historian Josephus actually dates him for us, tells us who else was going on around those times. And what's interesting from that secular information, we know that Caiaphas was high priest from AD 18 to about AD 36, which, lo and behold, is exactly the period when Jesus would have been ministering. Isn't that a nice coincidence? The other thing about Caiaphas is, as Christians, we love archaeological evidence. Don't you love archaeological evidence? Yeah. And of course, so they were doing some digging over there in Israel, and they stumbled upon a burial site. That happens all the time over there. That's why it's really exciting. We haven't even begun to find the archaeological data yet that will support the Bible, but they found this burial site, and in there, there was an ossuary. Do you want to explain to our listeners what an ossuary is?
It's a bone box, isn't it, John? When people are buried and their remains want to be preserved and their bones are placed into an ossuary.
Yeah. And that was the Jewish tradition, by the way, up till about 70 AD. So that's how we know that this gravesite must have come from, again, about the time when Caiaphas would have been the high priest. The ossuary is a beautiful, ornate ossuary, and on the sides have been written the names Caiaphas. And they found another ossuary at another site that talks about a relative of Caiaphas. So we've got all this archaeological information, too, that affirms that, yes, there really was this man. He really was the high priest, and he was there at the very time that Jesus would have been ministering. So that's why we like Caiaphas. But on the other hand, he's a villain. There's lots of villains in the Holy Week story, but Caiaphas is certainly one of the villains. You want to elaborate on that, or should I elaborate on that?
Why would he
be the villain?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, when we say he's the high priest, he's not high priest in the same sense as the Old Testament high priest, right?
Yeah.
So the high priest in the Old Testament, you know, there's the Levites and from Aaron's line in particular. And by this time, that's kind of gone by the wayside. And partially because the Romans are the ones in charge, right?
Yeah.
And so the Romans have a big say in who the high priest is even. So people could buy this position. And so most likely Caiaphas and his family were probably pretty wealthy. They were part of the priestly class aristocracy among the Jews. And his position was almost certainly purchased with money for the Romans to allow him to be the high priest. And I think the other thing is, you know, like you pointed out, John, we even have the years that he was high priest. It wasn't for life. Priest of old. It would serve indefinitely, you know. But here it's just for a limited amount of time, as long as Rome allows them to serve their term or until someone else buys the spot, buys the position, and is in power. So this is not your wholesome, you know, high priest just looking to serve the Lord. This is someone who's bought this position and this title.
So on the other hand, I'll represent Caiaphas here. I don't think I really like your implications there that I have this position because I bought it. Because the truth is, I am the high priest, okay? However I may have got this position, obviously that God wanted me to be the high priest. I'm trying to emphasize the fact that...
What kind of accent is that, Caiaphas, by the way?
That's a high priest accent.
Oh, okay.
All the high priests out there say, oh, yeah, that's exactly how we used to
that's
teach.
That's how the high priest sounds. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry, Caiaphas.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to point out that would have been the problem if you're a Jew. You would know that this is a political position. In fact, before Caiaphas, there was like two or three guys that didn't even reign for a year. And I don't know if they didn't pay up, they didn't keep up their dues or what it was, but for some reason the Romans didn't like them and they got replaced. But the problem is they're still the high priest, you know, and so mm-hmm. you have to deal with the fact, okay, this is a position established by God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it's kind of corrupted now because people are buying their way in. The Romans are because it was, as you said, supposed to be a lifetime position, but he's still... You know, you still got to listen to the guy. He's still got the authority and power, whether you like where he came from or not. You're right. The whole position from the very get-go would have been kind of colored from what it used to be. And of course, as high priest, what's the thing for us as Christians that really seems so villainous? What did he do that was so villainous for us as Christians?
He doesn't believe Jesus is who he says he is, right?
Yeah,
he doesn't
yeah.
believe that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and he looks, he's someone to be exterminated. So, and one of the things he says is, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but, oh yeah, if this Jesus stuff keeps going on and there's riots and things, the Romans could take our position and our power. You know, so, I mean, again, just the fact that, yeah, you know, Caiaphas is there and others too, because of Rome is allowing them to be there. I think is the main thing we have against Caiaphas is yeah, he rejects Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he's the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One.
So we emphasized last week that really, if you want to answer the devil, you need to stick with the Word of God. If you wouldn't mind, Matt, we're going to be closing up our first session here because we're going to take a break and to let people get a chance to donate to Share-a-thon. Let's read the actual words that talk about what you just said. So if you could read John 11, verses 47 through 53. I should have alerted you to this. Do you have that there, Matt?
Yeah, I got it. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs." We're talking about Jesus. "If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." See, there's their worry.
There it is, yeah.
"But one of them, Caiaphas," here we go, or Caiaphas, "who was high priest that year, said to them, 'You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish.' He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad." Yeah. And then it ends, "From that day on, they made plans to put him to death."
All right. So the verse we really want to focus on in our session today is that "you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." And by the way, just to clarify one other thing, I looked it up in the dictionary because, you know, my wife, Lynn, she is really big on pronunciations.
Uh-oh.
And so I did find out that it can be Caiaphas or Caiaphas.
Oh,
either way, both tomato, pronunciations tomato. Are... Yeah. No, you don't say tomato.
You say tomato. I say tomato.
Tomato, okay.
No. Well, that's Caiaphas, or so either one is okay.
Either one's okay. You can pronounce it either way, according to the dictionary anyway that we
all
have.
Right, very good.
So we will be back because there's some more villainous things that I had not realized about Caiaphas, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. And we'll focus more on this strange word that comes from a villain, but it is a true word, that it is better for one man to die for the people. Thank you for listening. This is Wrestling with the Basics. We'll be back in just a minute.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual Share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.
So thank you for continuing to listen to us here with Wrestling with the Basics on this Share-a-thon weekend. We're talking about the fact that Caiaphas is a villain. Certainly, he's the one that comes up with the whole idea of killing Jesus, right? Where did that come from? Who thought it would be a good idea? Caiaphas was the one who thought of that. Could we read a little more from the Gospels? Let's jump to Matthew, if you could. You got Matthew chapter 26.
Okay. There.
Yeah.
I'm getting there, John.
Thing is, he's not only the one that instigates the fact that Jesus should die, one man should die for the people, he's actually the guy that follows through on it as well. Because you want that kind of guy, don't you? You don't want just a guy that plans things. You want a guy that follows through. That's how it should be. Follow through on your plans. So if you want to just read Matthew 26, starting at verse 57.
Okay. Yeah, you know, just real quick, I mean, it's just kind of, I'm glad we're unpacking Caiaphas just because he's complicated, right?
He is.
You know, he says it's good that one man died for the people, and you get the impression he doesn't really know what he's saying there. You know,
it's
the Lord is speaking through him at that point as high priest, and, you know, God is going to use it to redeem not just the nation, but the whole world, as it says there, but then you know, but Caiaphas has something else in mind, and yet God works his will through Caiaphas. I mean, it's really a multifaceted figure in the Bible when you think about it.
Well, and see, this is one of the fundamental teachings of Christianity, that it doesn't matter on the man. It matters the word. That's what matters. So you're right. You've got this guy. He's evil. He's wicked. He probably bought his way into the priesthood. People would question whether he was legitimate or not. Although, again, like I said, you have to respect him as being legitimate. He has the office, no matter how he got it. And that is, of course, the Christian teaching. As long as a man comes up and tells you that God loves you and that your sins are forgiven, even if that man himself is corrupt, the words are still true. The words are still true. And the church wrestled with that because there were a lot of people, of course, who under persecution would deny the Christ, and then people would say, oh, well, I guess their communion wasn't valid. Their words weren't valid. And the church's answer was, no, it's not their words. It's the words of God. And those are always valid, even though the man, well, think about it. You and I are sinful men. And yet I trust that everything we've said here on Wrestling with the Basics that comes from the scripture is the truth. And that's a great thing about KFUO too. Everything that's said here about God and his forgiveness in Jesus Christ, even though we are failures and we are sinners, it's still, that's the absolute truth. Well, I'm sorry, you didn't want to lecture there, but you got it anyway.
No, that's good. No, that's good, John. And Jesus, God can even talk through a donkey if he wants, you know, and we think of Balaam in that whole episode.
What kind of crack is that? What do you mean? Talk through it. Why were you looking at me when you said that?
I'm not naming names, John.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. Back to Matthew 26, verse 57, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Jesus before Caiaphas and the council. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders had gathered. And Peter was following him from a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none. The many false witnesses had come forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days." And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And the high priest, Caiaphas, tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further words do you need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" And they answered, "He deserves death."
There you go. So he not only comes up with the plan, he fulfills the plan. He's the one that makes the declaration. What other witnesses do we need? And of course, then they all respond, "He deserves death." Here's the thing I did not think about, though. He continues to hate Christians even after Jesus dies. I had not really thought about it. He's the guy that arrests Peter and John in the book of Acts. And then he arrests them a second time, okay? And he's also the guy who's there when Stephen gets stoned. The high priest is there, the book tells us. And he's the guy that Paul/Saul goes to when he's looking for orders to have Christians arrested as he goes to Damascus. So in other words, this guy not only caused the death of Jesus, but he continues to persecute Christians long, long after Jesus is long gone and dead. And I just realized, yeah, he really, really is a villain. However, I also got to thinking, I wonder if we had a modern writer do his story, if he wouldn't be somehow redeemed or reformed, because that's what we do with our villains nowadays, don't we, Matt?
Yeah,
we just don't.
Oh, yeah,
have,
you bet.
You can't have a villain anymore. Have you seen Wicked? Have you seen Wicked?
Yeah,
the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the live production I've seen.
Oh, you haven't? You didn't see the movie?
No.
Oh, well, you got to go see the movie. Okay, because they stretch it out. They stretch it. In fact, it's a 2-part movie. I should warn you.
That's what I hear.
You won't get the end of it. And so, by the way, if any of our listeners want to see Wicked and they haven't seen it yet, cover your ears for the next minute, because I'm going to give you a spoiler. Because I thought she was the Wicked Witch of the West, right? I mean, that's what she's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Wicked, wicked. She wants to kill little Toto and kill Dorothy.
Dorothy, right? Yeah, no, boo.
But apparently we were wrong. Apparently, no, she was just misunderstood. And you know, she had to suffer through the bias because she was the only green person in her culture. And then, of course, she was really the victim of a smear campaign by the wizard. She really wasn't wicked at all. And then, of course, we have, you remember Cruella de Vil? Am I getting too old for you?
101 Dalmatians, right?
Yeah, and I thought, well, yeah, she's evil. She wants to kill 101 puppies so she can have a fur coat. But if you saw the movie Cruella, we found out, well, she really isn't as bad as what you thought. Again, kind of misunderstood, had a tough childhood. That's really, you have to be sympathetic to her, the one that wanted to kill 101 puppies. It's not as bad as you think. And so I'm wondering if people won't want to do that. And I suppose you could, couldn't you? Because he really was concerned about his people. The fact was there were other people like Jesus who had arisen and were trying to gather, a group of supporters. And you know what the Romans are going to do? They're just going to come in and they're just going to squelch it. That's what they're going to do. And in fact, you know, Caiaphas was right. In 70 AD, the Romans come and they absolutely destroy the whole city and the temple. So he's just has really a valid concern. So I don't know why we want to pick on Caiaphas. Okay. And so there's part of me that thinks, why can't we just have evil anymore? Why can't things just be wrong? Why do they always have to be, you know, there's got to be some explanation for why they're doing. And then on the other hand, I thought, yeah, maybe I want there to be evil. So I can say, well, thank God I'm not like Caiaphas. Thank God I'm not like Cruella. Thank God I'm not like the Wicked Witch. Maybe that's just me trying to avoid the fact that everybody is a sinner. You know, I don't want to have a coat out of 101 puppies. But, yeah, there are things I've done that are not good, that are despicable, that would cause God to want to condemn me, which is why what Caiaphas says is so true, right? It is better that one man would die for the people, or better said, that one man would die for me. So anyway, any thoughts about that, Matt, about villains and stuff like that?
Oh, wow.
Do you have any thoughts, John, about that, Matt?
Good points. I think just... So God is working through Caiaphas, right, to bring about salvation ultimately,
yeah,
you know, with this case with Jesus. But, you know, he's not the only bad guy that he works through. You know, I think that's kind of interesting. You know, you look
a
figure like Pontius Pilate, you know, he's out. It seems like he's just there to preserve himself and his position. And yet God works through him. Or the Roman soldiers, too, at the cross, and how God works through them, the very ones that execute Jesus. So God does work through these villains to accomplish his will and his purposes. And we can speculate, you know, what happened to Caiaphas, or did Pontius Pilate come to faith in Jesus? We don't know. We don't have those details in the scriptures. But we do know that God worked through what was intended for evil, and worked it for the good of the whole world.
And that's what I want to conclude this episode with, is the question you just raised there. So what does happen with Caiaphas? And the fact of the matter is, something goes wrong. Something goes wrong for him. For almost 20 years, he's able to hold this position, like I said, that other people only hold for a year or two. Mm-hmm. But somehow he's able to keep this balance between the people and Rome and the other official leaders there. But at some point, it goes wrong, and he loses his position, and he's replaced by yet another man who becomes a high priest. We talked about finding his ossuary, but see, that's a peculiar thing too, because while the ossuary is very, very ornate, his name is not engraved like you would expect, right, on a headstone.
Mm-hmm.
His name's like just kind of scribbled on the side, like somebody took a nail and just scribbled Caiaphas, as if to say, yeah, you know, maybe you need to know that Caiaphas is in here. With other bones, by the way, there's also a woman in there and some children and everything. And in fact, they say that the gravesite really wasn't the kind of gravesite you'd expect for a high priest. So he does have kind of an ending where it seems like maybe things have turned against him. And it occurs to me, well, there's two ways you can deal with that. You could say, well, there you go. Evil always is punished. If there are villains out there, trust me, you will not get away with it. You feast every day and have a guy hungry at your doorstep, you might end up in Sheol, in torment, okay? But I thought the other thing it might say is that God really wanted to save Caiaphas. And maybe that's why he caused these things to happen to him, that there might be an opportunity for him to repent. Now, as you said, we don't know whether he did or not, but I think it's important for all of us to remember this. And this comes from the scripture, Matt, so you can trust this. It says, God does not desire even the death of the wicked, but that they would repent and live, which on the one hand is a very humbling thing to me because, frankly, I've got people I just wish were in hell. It seems like they'd be better if they were. So maybe that's on me. That shows my sin, that I don't love my enemy because I should be praying for them, not cursing them. But I think it is also a thing of great comfort that all sinners, including me and you and those that are listening to us, God wants us to be saved, and he did what he needed to do, didn't he? That's what at least Caiaphas got right. It was better for one man to die for the people.
The other takeaway from scripture is that, you know, yes, Caiaphas condemned Jesus to death, but we also know that Jesus died for Caiaphas. You know that we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Whether Caiaphas ever really fully knew that or not, I don't know. But Jesus died for even Caiaphas.
Yeah, that's the fact. And the fact is one man died for the people, and that people is you and me and all of our listeners. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.